The gospel lesson is taken from Luke, the 5th chapter, first 11 verses. And this is the good news about Jesus. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your abundance. Help us to remember during these few moments examples of your abundance and blessing in our life. Sure, there are lots of things that we've experienced, shortages, pains, unexpected disappointments. But we want to be reminded of the overabundance that you have shared with us. Touch our hearts today and help us to hear what we need to hear so that we can, like these early disciples, do what we need to do. Amen. Sometimes we don't want to do things overboard. Like you've heard it said, don't overthink something. Or when somebody says you're overdoing things, that usually has a pejorative of like, calm it down. I heard that a lot as a kid. Calm down, Kevin. Calm down. Too much energy. And so we have an occasion in our life sometimes just to sort of settle for what is. We don't want to rock the boat because we don't really want to go overboard. Have you ever gone overboard before? Have you ever fallen off a boat, fallen off a pier? You don't have to tell us how or why that was. Well, I remember not so much going overboard, but throwing things overboard. And as a child on my dad's boat, somehow, when I was two or three, I have pictures as proof, I was tied to the center of the deck of the boat, just tied right there in the middle. So I had my little harness on, you know, that was useful back then, I guess. I don't know, kids today. And so I had the little harness on, little blue harness, and I was tied right to the very center of the deck because before I was tied to the center of the deck, I would just throw everything on board, overboard. Whether it be knives, forks, chairs, whatever I could get my hands on, just went over. Oh, look, boom, and just went overboard. I never fell overboard. But eventually my mom and dad figured out that if they tied me to the center, even as a two or a three-year-old, my reach just wouldn't possibly lose any more silverware. And so I didn't need it. Let me grab some water. But overboard can have a different kind of connotation as well. It can be a good thing. Like when you go overboard to do something great, it's a very positive experience, even if the circumstances, you know, may or may not be. The experience is just exhilarating. And going over something is what we all really love to do. We loved it when we had birthday parties as kids, when our parents went overboard with the birthday party. We love it on some special Christmases, perhaps, where you got that special gift, the gift that was unexpected. But man, when you saw that gift from Aunt Helen, or from mom or dad, or from a thoughtful neighbor, wow, it just blew your mind. It was just so amazing. That's the kind of love that God has for us. To go overboard with something, because God is a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. And for some of us, we kind of walk around as if we're following a Christ who is a Christ of scarcity, a Christ of calm down, a Christ don't ask too much, I'm not worthy, or same old, same old. A God of history who created the heavens of the earth is not a God of scarcity, but a God of abundance. Luke describes Jesus' calling of the first disciples here in Luke chapter 5. And Luke's gospel, he refers to the lake that we know from the other gospels as the Sea of Galilee. Well, to the Romans, it was called the Sea of Gennesaret. It was a Roman name, and so Luke's gospel was written mostly to a Roman world, not a Jewish one. And so his references, for instance, to Simon, not Peter, his calling of the lake by its Roman name, not by its Hebrew name, are just sort of signs that Luke is telling the story in a different way. But while Matthew and Mark sort of tell the story of Jesus calling disciples as sort of a recruitment tour, Jesus walking around, finding a couple guys, hey, come and follow me, sure, gotcha. Goes to the next place, hey, you want to come and follow me? That's great, good, fine, join the crew. And so he just sort of walks around in sort of a mechanistic sort of way. Luke tells the story of the disciple calling very differently. In fact, in Luke's gospel, the following of Jesus wasn't the point of the story at all. In the gospel of Luke that we read, Jesus was simply out and about teaching the people about the kingdom of God. And uniquely, Luke doesn't tell us what Jesus was talking about. Not one word about the message of Jesus or the kind of things he was giving voice to as all the people were hearing. It was simply an experience that he didn't have a good PA system like we have, that Jesus was there surrounded by the people and perhaps inching closer and closer to the water. Jesus needed to have a better place for people to hear him speak. And so as we know, our voices travel over water quite easily. It's like a natural reflective surface, unlike the sand of a beach or the dirt of a road or the walls of buildings. And so Jesus backs up more and more toward the beach and the water's edge and simply gets in a boat. It happened to belong to Simon. We know him better as Peter. Gets into the boat, pushes a little way off, and sits down and speaks. Why did he sit down? Well, rabbis in Jesus' day, those who had the respect of the crowd, they would always sit and the listeners would stand. That was just a custom. And so Jesus, in the position of the rabbi, gets in his nautical pulpit and just sits himself down there, pushes a little way off, and so now the surface of the water is like a shiny mirror, reflective surface. And he could begin to speak and teach. But sometimes we wonder, like, why did he pick Simon's boat? And isn't that kind of rude, like hopping in some dude's boat and just sort of saying, hey, I'm going to go take it for a short little ride while I have my speech? Here in the story of Luke, to put the story together, Jesus, right before this, healed Peter's mother-in-law of an illness. So Jesus is not out just recruiting disciples and going down his list and say, I need 12, so I have 30 days to do this, so divided by 12, 30, I got 2.5 per day, so I'll be able to get this done in no time. No, instead, Jesus is simply going about his business, showing the abundant love of God. He's going throughout the towns and the villages, proclaiming the good news, saying the kingdom of God has arrived. The kingdom of God is within you. There is hope. There's a new way of living. There's actually an abundant life that's available for you. And Jesus began to teach with such authority. He gave life to the scriptures like no one had ever heard before, that people started to respond. People started to say, oh my gosh, This guy's like a carpenter, but he's like speaking the words of God like I've never heard them before. And people were attracted not just to the person of Christ, but to the words of Christ. His words were like music to their spirits. And so as Jesus simply went around town sharing the good news with everyone he met, he happened upon Simon Peter and met him, had a conversation. We don't have all the details, and Luke's gospel doesn't mention them at all. But he ends up finding out and learning from Peter that his mother-in-law is sick. And so he goes to the house, heals Peter's mother-in-law as an act of kindness. Why would God do that? Because God is a God of abundance. God is a God of amazing love. And so God shows this incredible love for other people by entering the relationship with just ordinary people like you and me in an ordinary home, and goes in and offers healing over the top, totally took everybody by surprise. A lot of times we feel good if we just take a few aspirin and can get through the day. Imagine at every turn that we experience that extravagant love that God has for us, that when our spirits are tired, that God comes in and may not remove the obstacle, may not remove the impairment, but God is present with us in it so that it gives us lift to our wings like nothing else can, and allows us to see with the eyes of faith what we have been blinded to before, that God is present and loves us and has empowered us to make a difference in the world. And so Simon Peter had this experience. His mother-in-law is now better. And the next day, Jesus is out and about preaching the good news of the kingdom, that the kingdom of God has come, that the love of God is for you, and that there's freedom now for your spirits under which you feel such bondage. The religious rules, regulations, the good works the rabbis expected you to do, no more than 400 steps in a day and no steps on the Sabbath, to eat certain foods with certain hands on certain using certain utensils, that now Jesus has promised freedom from those kinds of man-made regulations to live a life of the Spirit. And people were flocking to him. People were drawn to that freedom that he offered. So when he was preaching on the beach and needed a pulpit of the sea, he naturally went to Peter's boat. He had already known Peter. And so as he gets into the boat, Peter remembers, oh, this is Jesus. Hey, this is the guy that healed my mother-in-law. This is, what a great guy. Sure, he could use my boat. And so when Jesus is finished preaching, when he's done with his message of the day, no doubt tired, and the disciples are listening, just sort of wondering what's going to happen next. Jesus then tells Peter, now I want you to go out, and I want you to go out there in the middle of the sea there, and you're going to, let's go fishing. Peter, knowing that the night before was totally fruitless, he knew, as a fisherman, he knew where when the fish were biting and where they weren't biting. If you know, if you're a fisherman and you know that a certain fish is biting at a certain time or a certain stream or in a certain lake and you want to catch that fish, well, you know when to go. And if you haven't caught anything, you're going to go down to the bait and tackle and you're going to say, oh, how was your day today? Didn't catch a thing. Next guy walks in. Hey, I'm thinking about going over to the lake and catch some fish. Oh, really? Well, somebody was just up there and not catching a thing. So that guy just puts the pole away and goes back in his car and goes home. Because we seem to have, the way we communicate the news, we sort of make assumptions about things. And if someone else is experiencing scarcity, then we automatically share that same message of scarcity. But Jesus wasn't a God of scarcity. And even though Peter's countenance was down, you know, he might have said, oh, fishing, are you kidding me? I just wasted my whole night. I've been fixing the nets. They've been getting tied up on rocks and catching everything but a fish. But he says, but if you tell me to do so, I will let down my nets. Why would Peter do that? Did he just like the eloquent speaker Jesus, who said, well, I guess if he can talk good words, maybe he can, he's also a good fisherman. Jesus was not a fisherman. Jesus, they already knew, was a carpenter, and he was from Nazareth. The last few weeks, we've had Jesus preaching in his hometown synagogue and giving his marching orders, his life's mission of bringing sight to the blind, to be freedom from those who are who are imprisoned, freedom of those who are oppressed. Jesus was pronouncing the year of God's favor. Not a day of God's favor. Not of respond now, the next 10 minutes, and you can get this for X number of dollars off. No, it's a year of God's favor. Take a breath. God's abundance, it's out there. See the sweep of it. Experience the joy of it, the breadth of it, the depth of it. Rise to the heights of it. God's love is not some special thing only priests get. God's love isn't just for religious people. God's love isn't just for people who go to church every week. God's love isn't just for good people versus not so good people. God's love is for all people. And Peter heard that message from Jesus. But what touched Peter's life the most was the fact that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Jesus was very practical in his healing. And so he says, my goodness, if he could heal my mother-in-law, sure, why not? And so he sets his boat out, and as he throws his nets and brings them back to the boat, is so overwhelmingly filled with fish that his very boat begins to capsize. He starts to go overboard. Imagine a fisherman caught so many fish, it began to break his nets. Such that, John, James, you got to come help. Look, I can't pull the nets up. Oh, I'm going to fall overboard. And so James and John come over with their boat, and they help pull in the nets, filled with fish. Fish, 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 fish. There's fish so far, you can't even count them. There's so many fish, it would tip every scale. In fact, what Jesus showed in that miracle is he very well could have pleased Peter if he just caught a couple cool fish and had a nice lunch on the beach. That would have been enough for Peter. He didn't expect much more. He knew his life was kind of mediocre. He didn't expect God to be a God of abundance. He didn't think himself worthy to receive even a few fish. And here's Jesus giving him the haul of a lifetime. In fact, Jesus provided so many fish that that town probably didn't need to fish for a week. Those fish, they were just looking for more salt and more sand to keep the fish fresh because they had so much fish they wouldn't know what to do. So they bring them up the shore. And as Jesus turns to walk away, providing Peter and his friends, almost like, I just wanted to offer you a little honorarium for use of your boat today. Yeah, don't bother counting them. You'll never end up counting them all. And so that kind of a gratitude, that filling of the nets, isn't just a sign of God's immense power. Jesus' knowledge where he could see through the dark water and just see that school of fish just waiting to be caught in the net. It goes beyond that. It shows Jesus' compassion and his love that he wouldn't just provide a few fish for a fisherman. If you're going to impress a fisherman, you give them so many fish, they're about to go overboard with the sheer weight of it. And God does something in our life. God just doesn't give you a couple crumbs. Now, at first, we may see the crumbs. We may be looking so low. Peter, I suppose, could have sat on the boat going back to shore. The fish just all over the place, like the Skittles, just overflowing the rims of the boat. And Peter, I guess, could have. He was in one of his moods. He could have just sat there and looked straight down at his feet and counted the fish. I see two fish. Big deal. Oh, two fish. Big deal. Oh, look, there's another one. Big deal. Three fish. I catch that many without even trying. But no, Peter, his eyes were open. He could see everything in that boat. He could see James and John struggling with the net. God's abundance, when we open our eyes, we can see it. We could see it even in the smaller things in life. We could see the blessing behind the blessing. We could see the gift behind the gift. We could see the dots that connect to the next hopeful thing and the next blessing. So that what we do here in this sanctuary leads to what we do during lunch, leads to how we treat a neighbor across the fence, leads to how we treat a family member or a stranger that we meet along the way. How we collect a lot of dots in our life. We collect a lot of Skittles, we collect a lot of fish, but we never connect them. And so the abundance is in connecting the dots, in the eyes of faith that can connect the dots moving forward so that the abundance we experience could be shared with others too. So Jesus, as he walks away, He says, would you like to follow me? Oh, yeah, I will. If this is the kind of abundant life you're talking about, I will definitely come and follow you. Now, they didn't go far. Jesus didn't wander much more than 30, 40 miles from his hometown his whole life. But that day, that experience of leaving a week's worth of fish to the friends and the neighbors all around, they were talking and eating fish just more than probably any of them really wanted to do. Because they told the story, this man who told about the good news, the love of God. How did he demonstrate that? He gave him a boatload of fish. And that boatload of fish became a symbol for the early church, so that when Christians in Rome and in areas that were very negative on the Christian faith, and they had to operate as if behind enemy lines, the early Christians used the symbol of a fish as a symbol of that they're members, that they follow Jesus too. In fact, Jesus's sort of a motto of the early church were the Greek letters for the word fish, ichthus. And the first letter of each of those Greek letters stands for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, ichthus. And that became the symbol of the early church. And so that kind of identity, that abundance of the filled nets, it wasn't just some happenstance. Jesus wasn't just out recruiting his band of people to send them out to do stuff. Jesus was out and about in those villages, blessing people over the top, overboard with God's love. So this week, how are you going to be overboard with God's love? What is it that your neighbors need to see that you could show something in abundance? Next time you send a thank you, what could you do to show even more gratitude than what's due? Supererogation is a fancy word for over the top, doing more than is required, doing more than is expected. It's being extravagant. It's going across the border, going beyond what you can see, and it's believing that God in your presence is doing far more. Jesus calls us to an overboard life, and he invites us to see our experience here at Cold Spring Church as not a ministry of scarcity, but a ministry of abundance, so that all that we do, all the activities that we do all across this campus and around our lives during the week are meant to connect the dots for people so they can see God's abundance and be filled with God's grace and to share the abundance with others. Are you ready to have an overboard week? Let us pray. Let's just pause for a moment. What will you choose? What's one thing that you will go overboard in this week? Maybe go overboard in tipping someone. Go overboard in complimenting someone. Go overboard in telling someone who needs a word of hope. Going overboard and sharing with those who are close to you how much you appreciate, love, and respect them. Let's pause for a moment and choose one thing that you will go overboard in today. Lord, thank you for showering us with blessing. Give us eyes to see that we might connect the dots of faith to share in your abundance. Lord, help us, instead of sinking, that we might be lifted up. And instead of being bound by scarcity and limitation, that we might dream great dreams and follow where you lead us. Lord, thank you that you've promised us an abundant life beyond what we ever thought possible. And we are grateful for going overboard on us, blessing us in Jesus' name. Amen.